You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season, because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks, and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
How about those White Sox?
Oh, my God, yeah, the White Sox.
So he's been a little more careful here to start this game to the Tigers. This one high in the air, deep to right field. And this one is gone. Gary Carpenter preserved his bullpen over this stretch. High in the air, deep to right field. And Gary Carpenter has hit his second home run of the ball game.
But wait, there's more.
This one is well hit to right center field. At the wall, Luis Robert Jr.
Can't get to it.
And that one left the ballpark.
That's three home runs for Carpenter.
On the ground at first, Grevia will cover. And that is your ball game.
I'm sorry.
It's bleak.
The White Sox.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
This is just the White Sox.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Woohoo! Woo! Wow! How about that arse kicking on the south side last night, Mr. David?
Morning, Molly. Happy Tuesday.
Woo!
Yes, good to be back. White Sox did not have it. That was a Carpenter who knows how to use his tools.
Holy.
Three home runs.
Wow. Holy cow.
Designated smasher. Three home runs for Kerry Carpenter.
Yes, I said yes.
Quite a night for the Sox. Quite a night.
Ooh,
it was a bad night for Jonathan Cannon, who apparently is injured.
Yeah. He's got a back.
Worst night for the entire bullpen, such as it is. Bryce Wilson, boy, did he take one for the team. He just kept on going out there and throwing pitches.
Oh, yeah.
And interesting to see Javi Baez play his first night at shortstop and make a play that was reminiscent of those days when he was wearing a Cub uniform making such plays. What a night for Javi.
Yeah, that was
pretty cool.
You know, Gleyber Torres is there. They got a couple of good players.
Which player contributed more to the 2016 World Series? Javi Baez?
Yes.
In a leading role, supporting role, or Gleyber Torres, who brought in Aroldis Chapman, who, by the way, do you see that nugget on Bob Nightingale's Sunday Notes column? Aroldis Chapman attracting some interest around the league. If the Red Sox are not in it, he will be shopped.
Yeah, and I don't think the Red Sox look like they're in it.
So?
Do they have a first baseman? Is their third baseman going to play first base?
The third baseman is actually going to Rafael Devers is going to be tried as a closer next.
Yeah.
To see if he can play one more position that he will definitely
they just want
resist.
One more position that he won't play.
Yeah.
How many positions can a guy refuse to play?
Well,
in a single season. God bless
him. He's at two and counting.
Yeah.
Really yeah, tough bad. Night, though, on the South Side.
I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, it was the kind of game where if you weren't there camped out in front of it and you turned it on, you would be, oh.
Well, that's what it looks like when the best team in the American League plays the worst team in the American League.
Well, no, it's just what it looks like when the White Sox play divisional opponents. They haven't beaten that team in a real long time. I think the Royals, who come up next, are their boogeyman team. They can't do anything with them. But between the two franchises, the Sox have won like 3 games in 6 years against them or something. I mean, it's an absolute absurdity how poorly they've done against those teams. And you're right. The Detroit Tigers are worth watching just because the Cubs are going to play them eventually. The Cubs start their series in Washington, and after that, they're headed to Detroit. So
the Tigers know the Cubs are coming.
Yeah.
The Tigers know the Cubs are coming.
Yeah.
They adjusted their entire pitching rotation because the Cubs are coming.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. Dustin and I were talking about it on Sunday, and they just moved Skubal back a day to hopefully, in their minds, get the series against the Cubs started on Friday.
So well, today's a bullpen day for the Tigers, shows you how little they believe they might need
help
against the White Sox.
No. If they're going to score runs like that.
It's a really good team. It's a really good team, the Tigers. They look very complete, and A.J. Hinch just continues to establish himself as one of the best managers in baseball.
Pretty interesting, really, when you think about the White Sox, when they pulled the old switcheroo and they brought in Tony La Russa. They had A.J. Hinch's autograph on the photo of Tony. Like that, they thought they were going to hire him. I just wonder what would have happened to that team had he come in.
Hard to know. That's really tough history to revisit.
Yep.
And we do know that he would likely have gotten more out of that team because he's gotten more out of every team he's managed. And the scandal aside, if you can say that, a lot of people never will be able to say that. But A.J. Hinch is still well-respected and known as one of the best in baseball. Cool night from pregame. Speaking of the Tigers, there's a lot of Tigers connections with Chicago. You got Javi. You mentioned Kleber Torres, which is kind of interesting.
Yep.
Certainly Jason Benetti called all three of those home runs last night.
That's right.
And I ran into in the press box, surprised to see, you remember Peter Chase?
Of course.
Used to be the director of communications for the Cubs for all those years, from 13, I think, to 20. And I did not realize, and this is my own oversight, that he had begun in January the same job with the Tigers, director of baseball communications.
Oh, wow.
Nice to see an old face in the press box. He's not that old. Looked very young and enthusiastic. Mm. And I would be, too, if I were in that job at this time.
That is, as you say, that is the best team in baseball right now. And it's been interesting because it's, you know, they're a really good, solid team. But one of the things they've done is they've taken turns. They have a different hero pretty much every night, and they've got a lineup full of them, and that was a real.
It'd be a great environment, and he was saying this exact thing: is that a winning environment creates a culture where everybody goes to work and they're excited to be there, and you get a lot more cooperation in that role when that's the case. And so the Tigers—they
got a lot of young guys.
Yeah, young. Yep. Guys on the rise, that's arrows pointing up. They've got some veterans like Javi. Javi's an established veteran who has now going to play a variety of roles. I mean, I think when you talk about Meadows coming back, making his debut in center field, I wonder what they'd do with Javi now. Javi can play shortstop like he did last night, and boy, can he still pick it. Great arm, great play. Yeah, he didn't really get booed. But how would you know?
Well,
there were enough people there to maybe create an echo.
No, there was no one there. But I would say that it's a good idea not to boo him. I mentioned that yesterday. Whatever you do, whenever you boo him, he seems to take notice. So,
he's fueled by that.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys.
Don't be booing him.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys. But the Tigers, are now on a collision course, of course, with the Cubs in the World Series, right? It's got to be like that.
We'll
1945
see.
All over
hey,
again.
It should be a fun weekend.
80 years later, history repeats itself.
We'll get a good weekend series with the Cubs coming off that Washington series and then heading right to Detroit for Scoble on Friday, and there's a three-game set in the Motor City. Fun mm-hmm. spot, just went there, had a good time. Detroit's
in the midst of a renaissance.
Yes, it is.
They've got the Tigers playing as well as any team in baseball. They've got the Lions with Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the Lions in a bit. Yeah. That's a very interesting day for them.
Yeah,
and then then the Red Wings and the Pistons going through their own little mini renaissance.
You know, Rob Parker, our buddy Rob Parker.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Rob Parker.
Yeah, he said last week that the Lions' window is closed.
Well, he could say it more emphatically after yesterday.
Well, that's
when Frank Ragnow, their Pro Bowl center, retires
great
suddenly.
Great player, Frank Ragnow.
Age of 29.
29 years old. He's had a chronic since 2021. He's had a turf toe injury.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, sounds like, oh, he's got a turf toe. But apparently the sprain in his toe has been incredibly painful.
Yes.
And it is like a really serious injury that has dogged him. He's struggled with injuries, but he's played through them. And he's played through this injury in particular for 3 years.
You think he's done?
I thought
he was in the midst of a contract negotiation.
He was talking
extension, and then all of a sudden they had an impasse.
Yes.
And next thing we know, he's retired.
I'm a little skeptical right now. But I don't know. What's the old line about guys who retire? When you talk about retirement,
mm-hmm.
you're retired.
He's pretty good, though.
He's good.
He's among the best in
the
game.
He's a great player. He's one of two great offensive linemen on that line.
I would suggest that based on how much that team relies on his offensive line and how important the center is to every offensive line, the Lions could miss Frank Ragnow more than they miss Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pro
player.
Who's,
yeah.
He's also like a leader and an important piece of what they're doing. David, they've lost a couple of guys on their line. If they move one of the guards to center, and that's what they're talking about doing, that would mean they would have the three interior pieces of their offensive line in different roles.
Yeah,
yes,
all new.
And that's
changed.
That's what the Bears are doing, but
Bears are upgrading.
They did it on purpose.
They did it on purpose, and they're upgrading. The Lions are making do. The Lions are patching together the boat that's starting to leak.
And so if you know what it's like to have a bad interior line, and sadly in Chicago we're familiar with that, that's what they're staring at.
They drafted a rookie in the second round from Georgia, an offensive guard, I believe, and they have some flexibility there. They have some depth. They also have a front office that's going to be likely proactive. Who else is out there?
But,
I don't know.
But the timing of this, man, he's retiring on, June 2nd, the 3rd today. He's retiring at a time where the draft is over, where the free agency period is over. There's like table scraps left.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's
tough.
Well, it's very tough, especially when you leave the impression while you're in the midst of a negotiation that you want to stay and sign another contract.
But the reality is, if you read what he wrote,
I read what he wrote.
It sounds like
he could have written the same thing on March 1st.
Sounds like he physically can't play. Doesn't want to play.
He could have known that on March 1st.
You think he's coming back?
I don't know if he's coming back, but I do think it's a heck of a thing at 29 to retire if it's not related to concussions. And it's not related to a brain injury.
Seven years in.
He had $42 million guaranteed in his last deal.
He's made the last three Pro Bowls.
I know.
I'm saying it's not like he's not playing at the highest level.
There are two things about this story that I still think don't add up. Number one, I'm not convinced that this isn't going to be something that in a month they say, oh, well, you know, we found the money, let's come make a deal, and he misses it. The reality starts to sink in. Number two, if that doesn't happen, if I'm the Lions, I'm ticked off, even though he has been a loyal soldier. Why this is June 3rd, we're talking about this, and not March 3rd. Because they went into free agency thinking they were set at center for years to come. They went into the draft thinking the same thing. They wake up at June 2nd, oh no, we've got a gaping hole in the center of our offensive line.
Well, he made a lot of money on his last contract. I think he was a $45 million deal, four-year deal. But he's looking for more money. Maybe if they pay him, that will improve his creditability, but his credibility would be shot.
Perhaps. But you know
what?
They
wouldn't care if they
could keep
him.
If his credibility is shot and he's still protecting the passer and Jared Goff has got plenty of time, nobody cares how much they can trust him. They know that they can trust him on third down. I think this is a big story in Chicago because of what it means to the balance of power, the NFC North potentially, because when teams start to decline and take a step backward, usually it's because of it starts up front. Everything starts up front.
He's been at this for a while, right? Seven-year player. Mm-hmm. Since whatever year, he's allowed he's been pass blocking on how many plays versus how many sacks.
The numbers are staggering.
The numbers are overwhelming.
Yeah.
They need to print more money if that's what it takes. Sell more Fords and get that guy a deal if he's not, you take him at his word, but otherwise you got to figure out
what's his word? His word is he wants to stop playing.
His word is
not that he can't.
No, he said, if you read what he said that he's got to prioritize his health.
I read
now.
What he said. That's what everybody says when they retire.
Right.
But you could have just as easily justified if he signed a contract extension and got what he was negotiating, he might have said, you know what, despite my injury, I will make my way to the bank.
So they'll go back to him and
I would.
Pay him?
All right. I would. You don't worry about saving face when you're about to lose your season.
You think that would lose their season?
You think about the context, Molly.
You're
on the doorstep of the Super Bowl two seasons in a row.
And you now lose your window is closed.
Your window is open maybe for another year. You lose both of your coordinators. You think, oh, wait, we're covered because we have an offensive line and a defensive line that we have built around and we have all this skill. We'll be okay. And then the leader of your offensive line, Penei Sewell is great. He's the best player on that offensive line. Right. But your leader is Frank Ragnow.
Yes.
And now he decides 3 months after free agency, essentially, that he's done. You're going into training camp next month, reeling, looking for a center. Do you think that's not a precursor to maybe things that aren't going to be so good this year?
Yeah. Well, I thought that that when they lost the two coordinators, things weren't going to be so good this year.
And I thought that was a little overstated because I feel like it's always about the players. And now that they lose Ragnow, I think that this will hurt them more than the coordinator loss.
Yeah.
Because he is this heart and soul of that offensive line. And now take Olin Krutz out of the Bears teams in 2000.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
You know, 5 through 10.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about losing a guy.
Yeah. He is their Olin Krutz.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing we can compare it to here in Chicago because they haven't really had somebody like that since.
Right.
Anyway, good big football news.
It's huge news. And, you know, if he's just laying in the weeds looking for more money, then that's big news too.
Yeah.
You're a cynical man, Mr.
I'm not. See, if you would have said it, you'd be like, well, I've been around a while and covered a lot of these. I say to him, you're a cynical man, Mr. David.
No, I really want him to retire. Okay, you want the truth? It would be great.
Would you be shocked if he doesn't?
No, but it would be great if the Lions are damaged to the point where you feel like, well, now it's not just a matter of aesthetically calling different plays. It's now significantly different. You can't run the plays you're calling. I think it's a really big deal.
In Ben Johnson's offense, and this may be simplifying or oversimplifying it, but when the quarterback is asked to take the ball behind center as often as he is, you need to win that point of attack battle every snap.
Mm-hmm.
You can't You can't have a center.
Bears went out and paid top dollar
because,
at that position.
Largely because of that, how important it is.
If Ragnow had stepped down already, do you think maybe that player would be heading
Drew
there?
Dahlman would be a Detroit Lion if Frank Ragnow would have retired March 1st.
Hmm.
Or you could speculate that and not be disproven.
Wrong.
It's all logical.
I think it looks like a very it looks like a great job to fill. I'm saying I don't know that he didn't want to be here, and I don't know that he wouldn't have come here. But if there was money coming from Detroit, they'd look closer than the Bears do to a Super Bowl.
It would have been more tempting for Drew Dahlman. With all due respect, he loves Chicago, but the Lions are on the verge of getting to the Super Bowl. 779. Good point. Jason Kelce left the Eagles. How'd that go? They did replace him, but they had a drafted replacement.
But they didn't lose him in his when he was 29.
Exactly. They had an adequate replacement.
They drafted his replacement.
They planned for the future.
Yes.
So the
Lions haven't had a chance to do that because this is an unexpected thing.
Similar but different. Similar position, different scenario.
No, I think it's different career arcs. You're talking about, like, as we talk about Olin, you're saying losing him at the height of his ability.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about now.
With Ragnow.
Yes.
Because centers can play a decade.
Yes.
Typically, if they're that good.
And he's 7 years in.
Yeah. So he's in his prime.
That's right.
And he's leaving the stage. And I think that that's a very compelling story yesterday. Unexpectedly so. Did not think we were going to be talking about the Lions offensive line today. I thought we were going to be talking about
I agree.
The Cubs being 15 games over for the first time since 2018.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good, and we'll get to see them play again. They took a day off. Let's hope that Kyle Tucker is fine. It was interesting. Talked to Bruce yesterday, and he talked about Kyle Tucker being beaten up.
I heard that.
That it wasn't just the one injury.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so you're just dismissing?
No, I'm not dismissing it.
Yeah, Frank Ragnow's lying in the weeds, and Bruce is lying.
No,
what else?
No, Bruce isn't lying. No, no. If Tucker, he dove for a ball and he caught it, or he didn't catch it.
No,
he didn't catch it. Yeah,
he didn't dive for a ball. He was sliding.
I know, and that's how he hurt his thumb. But then Bruce said the day before he was about got an X-ray because he fell in right field when going after a foul ball. And
yeah, he said he was beat up.
He's beaten up. Beating up right fielder.
That's the term he used.
I know. Baseball, violent game.
Guys get beat up.
I know.
You know, I told you that Chase Medroff is a human bruise.
He does. He walks around. How about him last night? Great play. Talk about a great play at shortstop.
No.
I know it was 13-1, but.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about
that. Okay. He's pretty good.
I think we need a break from talking about.
I'm fine with that.
How's the Pope? They sold the Pope thing out. That's great.
Sold out like in hours, right?
Yep.
Did you get your tickets?
I did not.
How'd that happen?
Well, I didn't get through.
And did you try?
I did try to make a phone call on their way home.
You should know people who know people.
Well, the thing was, you know, it was hard to get through, man.
You know people.
Who do I know?
Well, you know a higher power.
Okay.
And you also know somebody in the upper office over there.
Okay.
Might help, but either one. Depends who's answering.
I'll still go to church.
You can go to church in section 108. Go ahead.
In all seriousness, and I wanted to wait till you got back to ask this.
Thank you.
Would CHSN air this?
Oh, that's interesting.
Gone,
I hope
like,
so.
There's a plus, right? See, there's a because the White Sox are going to be playing
right
within like a 30-minute window. They're at the Rangers, but there is like, isn't there a CHSN plus?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right, you've got multiple because like when you've had Bulls and Blackhawks, since I'm saying they have the cameras set up.
It's on a Saturday, right?
Saturday, they have the cameras set up in the park for baseball games.
We all kinds of possibilities here. We could do like the Chicago lead before the Mass.
I'm just curious, like, I'm in all seriousness, like, or is like,
fun.
Would, as an example, like, I know ABC7 on Sundays airs Holy Name Cathedral Masses.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So I'm like, is ABC7 potentially coming in?
Because
I'm wondering if
Cardinal Supich is saying the Mass.
Right. I'm wondering if this Mass is going to be televised because of the fact that it was sold out.
I'll find out. Yeah. I doubt it. It isn't sports. It's a Chicago sports network, so
right,
I would doubt that they
from
would do
a,
that.
It's being done at a Chicago sports
venue.
Yeah. There
you go. Interesting. I'm not quite sure about that. How would you feel about that, Molly?
Oh, I hope they broadcast it. Yeah, I watch it. I actually tape that. We used to call it the Mass for Shut-Ins.
The 30-minute Mass?
The 30-minute Mass.
His homilies in there are so efficiently done.
That's why I do it.
He's a tremendous sermon giver.
And there's another Mass that's at the Mercy Home for Boys that I also tape those. I sometimes like to go back over that's my favorite part of the Mass. When I was a younger person, I used to not really care about the homily because it didn't speak to me. And
right.
That's been
but now that you're a writer, or no, we're a writer,
well, I always
behind a microphone.
I like to listen to the Gospels. I like to listen to the two readings in the Gospel and try to decipher why those are linked together and what does that mean. And
your Mondays at 5:30 are quite inspiring, I might say.
I like to think about it. Yeah, but I don't. Go
you come
crazy.
In reloaded, like you're impacted by those homilies.
Like I said, I think the problem is. Sometimes with the homilies, it depends on where you are in your life and
it
what
does,
you're going
of course.
Through in your life.
But the best ones are one size fits all.
Yeah, sometimes they are. Sometimes they're more of a show than you want. I'm just being honest about it. So
more of
that,
a show, like
while
performative?
That is ongoing, when I was growing up, I'm just saying my general life experience. I tend to sit there and read the readings a couple times in the Gospel and try to figure out why.
This is what I want to know. Will Pope Leo, his videotaped address?
I'm interested.
Is that the homily?
That would be probably.
Is he going to provide the homily that day?
Yeah,
the sermon.
I read somewhere that it's a message to the children of the world, and you know how I am about the children.
Yeah,
like the children don't get enough. I mean, how selfish are they? Can't you let that be a message to the grown-ups?
Good
too?
Question. 708. Will Sister Jean be there?
I would doubt it.
Why do you doubt
it? Because I don't think she's moving around too well. She's 105 years old.
105? Is up to 105?
It's 105.
Wow.
It's pretty old.
What an amazing life.
Yeah, it's incredible. But I
find out that. That's a good question, though, Dustin. Will it be televised on CHSN?
It's a good question. I don't know. I asked that question myself. So we've all kind of wondered.
Will it be tailgating?
No. He asked that question. He was serious about it.
There will not be?
I don't know.
Think so. I don't think they're going to allow that.
I placed a call and have not received a return text back.
Yeah.
About a question?
Like information about this event.
Informational
like a
quest?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Find out more.
Yeah, we don't know much.
June 14th, 11 days away.
Yeah, we got time.
All right, we got a lot to talk about.
We got to get to the pick six, all the top stories of the day. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
Were you disappointed that the White Sox stayed status quo with Luis Robert Jr. batting him seventh again last night after a miserable 0-for-10 7K weekend out in Baltimore, where the White Sox were swept? Were you anticipating a phantom injury or a trip to Arizona?
Yeah, you know, I sadly, I think that the Luis Robert Jr. struggles are irrelevant when you get beaten senseless 13-1 as they did yesterday. I think that, you know, Luis Robert, add him to the list of woes. It would seem that there is no plan in place for how to reclimate him. So I guess that means a guy making $15 million with a $5 million buyout probably playing to a level where you can't pick up that option at the end of the year. So rather than trade him for a couple of pieces, they're just going to let him go at the end of the season. They're not going to do anything to try to change that. And, you know, again, their problems are so severe that Luis Robert Jr. just wasn't one of them yesterday. He was just one of many.
Luis Robert Jr., 0-for-3 with a K, batting now 177. I will say this, though, that conversation and that thought, and Mully, you had strong opinions on it yesterday. We heard Ozzy give us an opinion that he might give him a day off. I was refreshing Twitter. I tuned in to the game. I mean, that was the only game on last night, so I watched it to see. I was curious to see if he was, in fact, not playing and if and where he was batting. So if that helped, I guess. I mean, it got me interested. It had my attention until it didn't.
I don't think Ozzy got a chance to talk to him. I talked to Ozzy. I think he had good intentions and might be able to still track him down. I don't know how much he can reach him at this point. Luis Robert Jr. has a confidence problem. It seems that he isn't as aggressive at the plate. He openly said that the trade conversations are things that it must have an effect on him because he doesn't know what he would be worth. When you hear a guy talk like that, he certainly is questioning everything about everything. And so the guy that you saw playing freely a couple years ago, hitting 38 home runs, seems like a figment of our imagination, a thing of the past. When you see guys like Eloy Jimenez and Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada fall off a cliff as fast and quickly as they did from a production standpoint, you worry that Luis Robert Jr. is just going to be the latest example. I don't know what went wrong. It might be from the shoulders up. He certainly is stealing bases and playing defense like he did 2 years ago, like he typically does. But I don't know where they go to unlock this player that can't hit any longer. And it just put him in seventh. I do think you have to play him because I think he has to play his way through this.
No question. I think you hit the nail right on the head.
That's the voice of Dan Plesac. He'll be here talking both White Sox and some Cubs with Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock, with the Cubs facing 26 games over the next 27 days, and Kyle Tucker, Dansby Swanson, PCA playing every game so far. What should be Craig Counsell's approach to resting guys? Will this be a factor when evaluating Tucker's sprained finger?
Well, I don't know if I want to suggest anybody needs a day off, because last time that happened didn't go so well. And PC,
no, it did go well. It did.
Well, it did go well. It had the opposite effect. So maybe I should say they should rest all these guys. I think eventually Dansby Swanson, given what he has run into in terms of late season fatigue, that was a couple years ago now, where he entered September and it seemed like he ran out of gas. You might want to protect yourself against that. PCA. We talk all the time about pitchers and going through seasons. We don't talk about position players. He's only missed an inning and a third. Might want to think about that. Kyle Tucker, same deal. He's banged up, and Bruce said he's banged up. So if he's banged up, you might want to think about that. You've got depth, and you're 15 games over. You're playing the Nats. Maybe you want to rest the guys for the big rush against the teams that are better teams. But I do think that Craig Counsell hinted at getting some guys some rest in this stretch, this grueling stretch. That's baseball. But I think that if he did that, they at least are protected, and they're not going to really miss any one guy. You don't want to rest him on the same day, but I think they can afford to rest one guy here or there.
Well, how about yesterday? That was a day off, so they shouldn't need a day off today. You shouldn't need back-to-back day offs. But sure, I mean, but when I want to know what you guys think. Is a day off taking one of these guys, quote unquote, off their feet and having them DH? Like, you know, would you leave PCA in the lineup, but have, as an example, Bruhan or Happ move over to center field for a day?
I don't think so.
To give a day off his feet, is that enough, or is a day off a day off? Like, you're not playing. You get, you know, you don't even, you know, no cleats. We've locked your cleats up. You know, but how about this? Why were they running Kyle Tucker when they were running him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's wearing like the, isn't Kyle Tucker now wearing like
double? He's got the oven mitt.
Huh?
He's got the oven mitts.
Well, so I was just, that's where I was going. He's got double oven mitts on.
I think he does.
Like, I mean, I just don't know that you need a player that is going to sign a contract in the future, whether it's with you or somebody else, in excess of $500 million. I don't know that you need to have him on the move as much as Craig Counsell seems to have him on the move. You know, maybe his agent should send Craig Tober a text and say, hey, you know, I'd rather not have the oven mitts on my guy. Okay, and let's slow down.
I don't agree with that, Dustin. I think if a guy has the ability to play multiple positions and do all these different things, you use that. That's part of his ability. You don't shy away from it. So you're saying you want PCA kept off his leg. Don't sprint, son. Take a day off today.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
I know, but I'm just saying,
I don't want Kyle
example.
Tucker stealing bases.
Tucker's got 16 stolen bases.
Yes. And
16,
and
he's fast.
What happened on that is his hand went under his body. It was his non-sliding hand. It was his other hand that got hurt there. And I mean, it didn't look good. It's not a good thing to have happen, but it just was a baseball play. I'll be very curious to see if they want to give him a day off because of all the bangs and bruises, if they feel they need to be aware of that. I also cannot believe that Pete Crow Armstrong hasn't had a day off all year. At some point, don't you just want to do that as a matter of kind of regular treatment of players. Now, maybe you want to do it in another week or in 2 weeks, whatever it might be. But I think if you're playing this many games in this short a period of time, yeah, everyone should get a rest here or there. I think that's a wise thing to do, and to go through it and plan that ahead of time based on matchups, etc. So I got no problem with them choosing to do that. It's a really long season. But I think that, you know, with a guy like Kyle Tucker, I think you got to deal with that sooner than with a guy like PCA. That's just the nature of the two different players at different stages of their career. And I think Dansby Swanson's a little bit different than that. So I think he should have an approach to resting players because, and I think he's well aware of it, but the idea isn't to use up anyone, is to have everyone available at their best for as long as humanly possible.
I understand the question.
Ah, okay, there's Craig. What are your expectations in Washington over the next three games versus the 28-31 Nationals? How important is this series given a weekend in Detroit followed by a series in Philadelphia?
Yeah, you know, I think you just play. I think the baseball players play. They play in, game out, game in, game out. I think if you can win another series, that's what you're after. If you get the first two, then you go for the sweep. It's as simple as that. So win the game that you play and then keep moving. I don't think you succeed in any way if you're not trying to win. But I think each game has kind of its own little, little moments in it that you try to win. And I think that they've been winning a lot more than they've been losing. I don't feel like they have to win this series because the next two series are going to be more difficult. This is a team that's hovering around 500. That's not a completely awful team, not a particularly good team. Cubs should be able to handle their business, but it's, you know, win series, win series, win series.
It's all about winning series. There's no doubt about that. I believe the Cubs have won six series in a row, actually. But this, we could kind of tie this question with the last question. So I fully expect tonight the Cubs to win the ball game. Pitching matchup favors them. The middle game pitching matchup favors the Nationals, and the Nationals are like red hot at the plate right now. They're doing really well. They're really good with when they get people on. They're really good runners in scoring position. Their bullpen is an issue. So this might look kind of like that Red Series on the road where Cubs may find themselves down 2-1, 3-2, and then get to the 6th or 7th and then pound the opponent's bullpen type of a thing. But, Mully, if the Cubs were able to win the first two games, which I don't think they will, but let's just say they did, and we haven't, we being the Cubs, have not given a day off, then I would call for one of those, like, David Haw Sunday lineups on Thursday, where literally, like, all these guys are sitting. They're available if there's
concede?
Know, like, basically concede. Yeah. Anything can happen. It's baseball, right?
Right.
Anything. But if you were able to take the first two, I would then be okay with them not going for the sweep with the everyday guys, and I would massively pull back. Because these are all night games. They're all 5-10 pre-games. There's no getaway day, no day game per se. Nice starts for us. I'm never going to complain with a 5:40 first pitch.
But they just had a day off yesterday.
Well, I agree, but you guys are the ones who, if I'm hearing right, you guys are the ones clamoring for days off.
Clamoring. I think we're clamoring. There's
a
clamor.
Is that a good word for me?
Yeah, that's a very good word.
I didn't be able to spell it.
I think that the big series you look forward to, obviously every 26 games in 27 days is fun for fans because there are never any days that there's not baseball. There's only one in the next 4 weeks. That's fun. But I think the Nationals game has the least amount of buzz. The least buzz. Because you go into Detroit, that Tiger series is going to be fun because of all of the ramifications and all of the projections and all of the things. If they're the two best teams in baseball at that time, that will be much fun. And then the Phillies, every time you're playing Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber, that's going to be must watch, must listen radio and TV. So this is a build up. This is kind of like the undercard, and they should win 2 out of 3 in Washington. I don't know about taking Thursday. They just had a day off last week when they were not in that position. That's what I suggested, giving PCA 2 days off in a row. If they were able to do that this week, I don't know. But if they're going to go straight from Washington to Detroit. So I think that you want to keep your guys sharp. So no, I wouldn't rest them on Wednesday or Thursday.
It is a really fascinating question.
All right, this time in Chicago, the Tigers center fielder slash infielder, I guess, Javi Baez, knew a little bit more about Pete Crow Armstrong than he did last summer.
I have been seeing the type of athlete he is, and you know, he's a really good athlete. Obviously, feel great for the Cubs that they're playing really good baseball too. Hopefully, we play against them in the playoffs. That's what I tell young guys, you know, to not copy, but to take some stuff from the players that they look up to, and you know, just do it yourself and your style, and if it works, you gotta keep using it.
So, your thoughts on what you just heard there from the former Cub and now Detroit Tiger Javi Baez?
Well, I'm glad he knows who PCA is. that's good, because they're both very similar players. Javi Baez still playing at this high of a level this year, kind of a resurgent season, is good. Great for baseball. And if you are a Chicago baseball fan, you appreciate his commitment to staying in the kind of condition and coming back and not folding, not going away quietly. He refused to do that. He played center field. And now they have Parker Meadows back. I do wonder what that means for Javi Baez on an everyday basis. I think he's had pretty acceptable, above average offensive numbers. He certainly is a plus defender. He showed that again last night. Yes, I think they're better with him. And also, long-term, comparing careers, I mean, PCA should be so lucky to have a career like that. Javi Baez, MVP runner-up, maybe PCA will win one. Javi Baez, World Series hero or World Series champion, a big part of a team that made history. If PCA is part of one of those kind of teams, then they can compare. But right now, that would seem to be a best-case scenario.
PCA, Javi Baez. I mean, I wonder if Javi hadn't transferred out to center field this year, covering for an injury that they were having, and maybe they thought change of pace, would we even be having like this conversation? Because they're playing this. If he was still a Gold Glove caliber shortstop, which he might very well still be on defense, his hitting hasn't been great. But now that the Tigers are doing better and the games mean more, Baez seems to be playing better. You know, listen, did a nice job yesterday with the media. Who do I think is going to have the better career? Come on. I mean, PCA, without a doubt.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think that if Javi Baez wasn't making the amount of money he was, if he hadn't signed that contract, I don't think he'd still be on Detroit. I think they may well have gotten rid of him a year ago, if not longer, because he wasn't getting it done. But the fact that they were kind of stuck with him and couldn't move him and couldn't, they made the best of it, and he made the best of it. And his resurgence as a center fielder has been amazing. Really just, you know, kind of an astounding thing to see. He's, you know, I think he's 32 and a half right now. So he's kind of in the Javi was my favorite Cubs player during that run. He was just so exciting, so much fun to watch. He did the craziest stuff that time he was on the bases, and then he came back. Like, that was just, you don't ever see stuff like that in baseball.
The first base rundown?
Oh, the one where he comes back to home plate, and then he is off again, and the run comes in. That was so much fun and so funny to see, and there were so many moments like that. But ultimately, I'm not sure that Javi got everything he could out of his career.
Hmm.
You know, his time with the Cubs, and it was COVID problem. You know, had he just signed that contract, he'd still be here, and he'd have been here all that time. And I don't know that he would have had the twists and turns. You know, his trip to New York was a disaster. It was really bad in New York, and the thumbs down and the crowd, and you know, it just didn't go well. And they ended up trading PCA for him, which was, you know, really worse, one of the real bad deals you're ever going to see. But then they, you know, I don't know. It was bad how he wound up with Detroit. And if he wasn't paid as much as he was, I don't think he'd still be there. But, I mean, you got to respect the talent that was there. If you remember when he was when all those little kids were going to see him play
at Cooperstown,
Williamsport.
They
all wanted to be Javi. He was the guy that he's just that kind of electric player. But I think that I hope that PCA has a really long and stellar career,
better than Javi's.
And I hope he stays with the Cubs. I think he can aim for that. I think he could get there, but he's not there right now.
Dustin didn't hesitate.
No, but Dustin is, you know, prisoner of the moment.
That's a great question.
That is the voice of Mark Gannis, and we've got some more things to discuss with Mark Gannis when he joins you guys at 9. A little breaking news, if you will, that we're going to get into. What are you looking forward to seeing or hearing from the Bears during their 3-day mandatory minicamp that begins today up at Halas Hall? How important is it for Ben Johnson's first team?
You know, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think we hear a lot of positive stuff and positive ideas about what's going to happen with Caleb Williams. It's good the backup quarterback talks about him the way he does. And it's nice to kind of imagine that he's going to be making this great breakthrough and that he and Ben Johnson are going to be in lockstep. I think that's what everybody wants to see happen. I think that the unfolding of that will be interesting. So I think over the next few days, you'll get to see them practice pretty regularly. You'll get a sense of how the head coach, he seems a lot more intense as a coach than I personally expected, just because those offensive guys tend to be a bit ethereal and they're putting together their stuff. And this guy seems much more kind of in the weeds on some of this stuff. I'm going to be really curious to get a few different moments where there are good things happening and bad things happening. I want to see how he is engaging with the quarterback and how their relationship is building. I would love if Caleb Williams didn't throw picks. But I think that's the story of this season, the relationship between the quarterback and the play caller. And I think people being out there and getting to watch them, listen, you know, you got to win 7-on-7. I think we've learned that over the years, that when you can't win 7-on-7 drills, that is a huge red flag for anyone. So I want to see how the quarterback does getting in and out of the huddle, what people are saying, how many times you run it again, how many times you stop a play. I'm very curious about this growth process. We won't know anything about it till they get into pads, till they start playing real NFL games, to be brutally honest. But there will be different things to look at moving forward. And I think that having a lot of people out there watching it and people who know what they're looking at will be fun for this week for sure.
I think you make a great point about winning 7-on-7. That's very, very important. And let's see, you know, these are reps. This is these are all reps. This is mandatory. Everybody's got to be there. And they've had pretty good attendance overall this offseason from all the reports. But I think the media is going to get like extra couple days with eyes on these guys. I think all three practices are going to be open to the media. There's going to be, you know, players available to the media all 3 days, not just the one day at a time. We did hear last time around that Ben Johnson stopped practice, made him redo stuff, to your point. Like, so were mistakes that we did learn about a week ago, have they been corrected this week. So it's always about making the best use of a rep. Okay, like the reason you take the reps, the reason you practice, the reason you lift all the weights and do all this stuff is to get better each and every time. So are they making steady improvement? And everything's about the quarterback, body language, hands up. What is Caleb's relationship with these receivers and the running backs? And how about the number one pick? Is he going to be a little bit more involved? Like
mental reps.
Well, where's his shoulder at? Like, is he going to be able to?
No, he's not taking part.
No, he's not there. Okay. No.
Well, he's going to be there.
He's not going to be involved.
Yeah, but okay. he'll be
mental reps.
Mental reps. Right. But I think, you know, and will the quarterback take some snaps from center in 7-on-7? Will it all be shotgun? I think that's also something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm curious about Caleb Williams, I suppose, because that relationship is the most important one. We have yet to hear from Cole Kmet. I'm curious about how he feels, team leader, local guy, Chicago Bear through and through, how he feels about having the Bears draft his replacement at number 10 or the same position at number 10. It certainly puts him down a notch on the pecking order in terms of options offensively. Jalen Johnson, I assume he'll be there. This is mandatory. He always has something worth listening to, and curious how he feels about this defense now that he's learned a little bit more about it. Montez Sweat described Dennis Allen as complex. I wonder what Jalen Johnson's word or words may be. These are the kind of things you start to see take shape when all of the veterans are required to be there, and it's not just an OTA or a voluntary practice. So these are interesting sidelights. The other fact, who's lining up with the number one offense at left tackle? Is Ozzie Cipollone going to be the guy that again gets another look with his improved footwork and continued, you know, just absorption of the offense? Let's see what happens there. And then who is going to be your number two quarterback? If that's an open competition, who takes the first snap with the second unit?
Here's a question for you guys to discuss and ponder.
That's Mike Florio. He'll be on with you guys at 8:44 this morning. What's your reaction to Lions center Frank Ragnow announcing his surprise retirement yesterday due to multiple injuries, including long-term turf toe? How much does this hurt Detroit to lose a 29-year-old four-time Pro Bowl player who has made the last three in a row? Does the timing hurt the most, post-draft and post-free agency? Quote, I've tried to convince myself that I'm feeling good, but I'm not at this time to prioritize my health and my family's future, he wrote on Instagram. I have given this team everything I have and thought I had more to give, but the reality is I simply do not.
Big story in Chicago because the Bears' defensive line just got a little better. This is probably, I don't know if it's like adding Grady Jarrett, but certainly you play the Lions twice a year, and this changes the complexion of their offensive line and their entire offense. This is as big of a loss as they have suffered this offseason. In my mind, bigger than Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, bigger than their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn. This guy was the heart and soul of one of the best offensive lines in football. And they don't have a replacement. And they don't have one because he's retiring on June 2nd, not March 2nd. So they went into free agency in the draft thinking they had an answer with Frank Ragnow, who they were negotiating a new contract with. Now he's done. Now he's gone. That's great news for the Bears. Had he announced in March, Drew Dahlman might have been in Detroit putting on the Honolulu Blue this year instead of the Navy and orange of the Chicago Bears. So this is good news for the Bears. You wish him well in retirement and hope he doesn't come back.
I had not thought about what you guys brought up in the first segment of the show, and that's the beauty of this show. It's to inform and entertain and to make you think. And I didn't think that this might be a money play, and I hope that's not what it is, that he wants more and they realize, oh, snap. We need to do something. We can't. But now they did draft guards, right? They drafted a couple of guards in this past draft. And weren't they kind of rotating a couple of guys around? They had some, like, heavy packages. I'm not an expert on the Lions, you know, depth chart of their offensive line. But, you know, as a fan, great. Good. They lost both their coordinators. One of the guys is coming to our team here in town. And the other guy went out to the Jets, and, you know, Rob Parker, you brought him up, said, longtime Detroit guy, said the window is not even slightly open. It is closed. Good. Good. I'm a Bears fan. Okay. The Lions had an opportunity. They blew it. Good.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where it stands. The idea that this could be, all for the encouraging of a better contract is interesting to me. I'm very curious about how this one turns out because, you know, the Lions, yeah, okay. This is a real blow. They got two great, I mean, great offensive linemen on that team. Two of the guys that are the best at their position. Two perennial Pro Bowl players. And, you know, Penei Sewell will be there and will lock down the right side. But if indeed they're relying on a rookie or they want to move a veteran inside, so they got three guys on the interior of the line in different positions, that's weakness. That gives you an opportunity. That makes them less likely to be operating in the way that they have. And if you wonder about losing your offensive coordinator and how the quarterback will respond to that, well, wait till you lose your center and see how the quarterback responds to that. That could be a really bad blow for a guy that isn't necessarily very mobile. You know, you're talking about a guy that is kind of a pocket passer. The timing of this couldn't be much worse for Detroit. So it makes you wonder how legitimate it is and if there is a possibility they can buy their way out of it. They're going to have to do that if they can, because this could really impact their team severely. So I'm taking it at face value, and congratulations, Frank, on a great career, and God bless you, and we'll see you soon, buddy. But do
stay
not
away.
Come back.
Stay away.
Yeah, don't come to Chicago ever, and don't be there when the Bears show up. All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mullion Haugh on 670 The Score.
All right. According to the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Fire announced plans Tuesday for a privately financed $650 million soccer stadium at the mostly vacant 62-acre site along the Chicago River at Roosevelt Road, giving the team a, quote, world-class home, end quote, and potentially turning the former rail yard into a bustling Southside Wrigleyville. What's your reaction, and what does this mean to the White Sox bid for a new ballpark?
My reaction is this is a huge transformational moment for soccer in Chicago because Joe Mansueto has dug deep and invested into the future of the sport, the future of the franchise, and frankly, the future of the South Loop. This is huge. This is huge news. The Fire just changed everything about what's going to go on at the 78. I think this is counts as the White Sox latest loss because they were going to be there. So we thought a year ago, we talked about those possibilities. The Fire beat them to it, and they beat them to it by being ambitious. This was called by Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, as one of the most ambitious stadium projects in MLS history. Think about that, right in our backyard, right in the neighborhood, a few miles away. The Fire have, it's worth $530 million right now, 24th in the league. I think that price just went up because the plans sound ambitious. They sound transformational. They sound like, boy, why can't other teams in this town be as aggressive and as efficient as this project seems to be right now? Early reports are that you look at the timetables, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to learn along the way, a 22,000-seat stadium, which will probably be full and probably help that team. So Related Midwest found their partner. It wasn't the White Sox. It is the Chicago Fire. Congratulations to Joe Mansueto, making an impact on the Chicago sports scene and the city overall in a way that says he's committed to the sport and to the city.
Well, anytime you can help the city, I'm all for it. The other key word in the question to me is privately funded stadium. So they're not asking for help from the state or from the city. I am tempted. I haven't done it. Just don't have the time and our goofy hours, whatever. Lots of excuses. But I want to go to this area. Like, I want to see what it's all about. And if you got on the river, can you go past it?
Yes.
A water taxi or
yes.
something? Yes.
Yeah, just take a water taxi like you're going to Chinatown. You'll go right by it.
Okay, because I like to
see
it. And
then you could turn around and come back.
I'd like to see it. I could have some great dim sum or something in Chinatown. It's always good out there.
You could buy a cheap back scratcher that will prove to be the greatest dollar you ever spent in your life.
Okay, good
like
tip.
Some of us have done.
Now,
in Chinatown?
I bought a back scratcher 35, 40 years ago for $1.
Yeah.
I still have it. It has given me more pleasure than anything ever purchased in my life.
You know what?
Greatest
now?
Dollar ever spent.
And now it'll have a Chicago Fire logo on it.
It's fine by me.
But you mentioned a 22,000-seat stadium, mm-hmm. and it'll be full.
Yes.
Now, that's the question. Now, they might for a year because everybody's into a new shiny toy. Okay, and I think bands will want to play there if this venue is as good as everybody acts like it is. But Mully, this is more for you and really for the group and the texters and the call. Like, will soccer ever make it here? I mean, as a kid,
make it. I mean, they're averaging 21,000 fans right now.
Listen, Dustin, they need a stadium that is soccer sized. That was one of the things, you know, during the 1994 World Cup, I talked to the executive director of the U.S. Soccer Federation. They said in retrospect, their mistake was they didn't require every city that got games to build a $22,000 soccer-only stadium. Those stadiums weren't that expensive at the time, and they could have built their entire league. They could have had stadiums for every team just by hosting games in those cities. It would have been a great way of combining what the sport was trying to do by selling it, by putting up soccer-only stadiums. This is a stadium that will be like a perfect size for their soccer club. It's going to be great. It would be completely packed. They've been very ambitious. This Joe Mansueto, let me read you this from the Chicago Tribune. This is a quote. This is what the man said. It's my belief that these stadiums should be privately financed. This is a guy who, you know, was from Northwest Indiana and got his MBA at the University of Chicago and began a billion-dollar business out of his Lincoln Park apartment. He says most of the value accrues to the sports teams, so it's only fair that the sports teams shoulder the cost of construction. Wow.
Wow.
If only we had more owners like Joe Mansueto in Chicago.
He sounds like a talk show host or a fan, or he's a guy that understands that you can no longer ask for public assistance for private projects.
Yes, you can't ask, hey, we need $2 billion in private assistance so we can build up our own pockets to the point where they're overflowing with money. No one wants to hear that. And look what's going on in Springfield as they hear that. What Joe Mansueto has said, this guy, that's the kind of owner you want in Chicago.
It is the kind of owner you want. Certainly the scope is slightly different than maybe a football stadium and project or a baseball ballpark and project. But I think that you have to compliment him for taking advantage of those realities and jumping on board when Related Midwest wanted a partner. He said, why not us? Why not now?
It's unbelievable. We'll have to get more into this, but it is just great to read something like that. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We got a lot of people who want to check in, and we'll get to the phone lines.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a lot because I think that it's very fascinating to see how the Chicago Fire approached this stadium project, which is now underway. Get the front page of the Chicago Tribune and go out and buy a copy because it definitely is all over there. And they have the story and the details about what the Chicago Fire and Joe Mansueto, the owner, have done. And you're talking about a massive investment in the South Loop.
And let's start with Andrew. He's in the western suburbs. Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
Morning, fellas. Didn't the Fire build a stadium out in Bridgeview back in 06? And then why did they move out in 19 just to build a new stadium this year?
Different ownership, but yeah, they did have a stadium out there.
What happened? They had a stadium there. It was a very intimate place. It was a pretty good place to see a game. When Joe Mansueto bought the team, he included in the buying price a buyout from Bridgeview, I believe it was located in Bridgeview.
Yes, in Bridgeview.
There was a buyout with Bridgeview, which allowed him to move downtown. His feeling was, we are the Chicago Fire. We should be in Chicago. And I think that the thought process of this is that you build yourself again, they've been looking for some sort of anchor tenant in this project for a long time. They flirted with the White Sox, but there wasn't the private money Jerry never wanted to spend private money. He wanted a public funded building. And this guy is willing to spend his own money to build this stadium. It's very exciting stuff.
It is exciting. We'll get into it. More people might have opinions. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think about the Chicago Fire and Joe Mansueto planning a $650 million soccer-only stadium in the South Loop.
312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.